Hi, this is Kevin Clark, Senior Editor and Chief Correspondent for America Magazine. Visiting Detroit over the summer, I stopped by the Great Lakes Coffee Shop in Detroit's fast-rising Midtown neighborhood and bumped into Chris and Shelby Prater. The two brothers are precisely the kind of young, creative, and optimistic entrepreneurs that city leaders hope to attract back to Detroit after decades of watching its best minds collect Wayne State diplomas and then head out of town. After years away from Detroit, the Prater brothers have returned home, not just because they love Detroit, they told me, but because they see new opportunity here. I talked to Chris about the impact of the recent bankruptcy filing on the city that he loves.
We're both born and raised in Detroit from a small family of 14 in our immediate family. Yeah, wow. Six boys and seven girls.
And one really tired mother.
Oh my God, yeah, tell me about it. And then I was going to Atlanta for 12 years and got back a year ago.
So you guys back working with the family business, or
yeah, and
or
then
you got your own store?
Yeah, and then because we love Detroit.
Yeah,
you know.
What is it? How do you feel the last couple of weeks about Detroit? Is it is the bankruptcy just one more thing, or is it more of a shock than other things that have happened?
I got mixed emotions on it. When you understand corporate finances, you understand that bankruptcy is not always a bad deal. You look at the airlines; they file bankruptcy every year, and they never stop flying.
Yeah.
But it kind of puts us in a very unique situation in that with any reorganization, you start off at ground zero again. So you really can't look at it as a complete atrocity because after we reemerge, there's going to be some unique opportunities in the city of Detroit. So I'm excited about it. You know, there's a negative stigmatism with filing bankruptcy. But Detroit has some unique things that a lot of American cities didn't have. And so... it was one of these things you had to go through in order for us to come out on the other side of it and restore us back to our prominence.
And you think that's going to happen at the end of this?
No question about it. There are some things that are going on. Here's the one thing that I didn't really appreciate about the bankruptcies. Over the last now 14 days, there's been so much negative talk, negative press about the bankruptcy. And I wish somebody like Dan Gilbert, who is spending, you know, gobs of money here, would say, hey, listen, you know, world, there's still some very, very good things going on here. There's a lot of dollars being spent here. There's a lot of revitalization going on that hasn't made mainstream media. And in light of the bankruptcy proceedings, there's still some great things that are going on in Detroit. You know, our population numbers are increasing. People are excited about, you know, moving back to the city of Detroit. And so it's not all doom and gloom. And, you know, in the next couple of years, you know, particularly we got this mural campaign that's going on, but you're going to see some very, very great things come out of the city of Detroit. So I wish that we would start promoting some of those things as opposed to people saying, hey, they're going to start selling off Detroit, you know, or let Detroit have this big yard sale and everybody come get a piece of it. And the reality is a portion of that may happen, but at the same time, there's some very, very unique things going on here that I wish that the world, you know, or the media at least, will propagate.
Well, by that, do you mean where we're sitting right now? This wasn't here a few years ago. The whole,
I mean,
whole Midtown.
Even, yeah, this whole, you know, Midtown resurgence. You know, where our store is on a place called the Historical Avenue of Fashion. And at 7 Mile in Livernois, there's a $2.1 million grant over there to help activate some of the vacant storefronts. It's adjacent along the avenue where some of Detroit's best neighborhoods are Sherwood Forest, Palmer Park, Palmer Woods. These neighborhoods have stood the test of time, you know, over Detroit's, you know, last 30 or 40 years. The housing values are a little lower now than what they were at their prime. But the foreclosures are, you know, record lows in that particular area. And so where they're putting those dollars at, you know, not only just in Midtown, you know, there's some great things going on in the city. You got the West Village that, you know, are also the recipient of some great grants from the city to kind of revitalize some historically, let me talk about beautiful neighborhoods. So, like, when you hear about things like that, then it makes you know that Detroit is not all shoot 'em up, bang, bang. There's some stuff going on here that's not going on in any other city in the nation.
Such as?
You look at the fact that we're an international city, and that Canada is our neighbor to the south. And so even though I spent 12 years in Atlanta and absolutely love it, there's not a stitch of water anywhere near the city of Atlanta. So to say that, you know, that you can drive 10 miles in one direction and hit water, you know, is something that a lot of people can say, you know, Chicago can say that.
So you think
you know,
the ports could be
The ports can be opened up. That's going to open us up to trading. At the heart of what Detroit is, we're a manufacturer. And I read an article not too long ago that said that Amazon is looking at building a facility here because, again, you have access to water ports and you know, and water transit, that if we really begin to pour into those natural resources that we have, it's going to return us to our past prominence. I think one of the things that really has to happen in the city of Detroit is we have to get back to the roots of what we are, and that's making things. I think Detroit is actually a microcosm of what's going on in the United States, is that we don't have a gross domestic product. We don't make anything. And, you know, we've through some bad legislation, in my opinion, we kind of shipped everything off. You got NAFTA that really didn't help the city of Detroit. But if we could ever get back to doing what we do best, you look at this is the same city that in its height making, you know, 1,500 to 2,000 cars per shift at General Motors, Chrysler, and Ford.
Yeah.
During World War II, they stopped making cars and started making ammo and tanks and planes. We could do that same thing here. And so I think that we need to look at Detroit as bringing some of those manufacturing jobs back. And, you know, would they be paying $34 an hour? Probably not. But there's no need for us to always ship everything over to China when we can very much make things here. You can go from making a car to making a tank. Then we can make a hanger. We can make an Apple computer. So, you know, I appreciate companies like Google that are making their new phone here, or at least assembling it here in the United States. We get more of those things like that going into Detroit than we can, you know, be the city that we once were.
Are you at all concerned? You know, I've been here just two whole days, so I know everything about Detroit.
All right.
Are you all at all concerned that whenever I've spoken to anyone about the positives, a couple of things seem to be left out to me? What happens to the city workers' contracts, their pensions, their health care? And when we talk about revitalization, we are talking about pretty small neighborhoods that are predominantly now white, urban pioneers, as the term. Is there a danger there that Detroit's going to be just this downtown center core and everything else out there is sort of just left to fend for itself?
No, two things. I think what's going on with the pension program, that has to absolutely be addressed. How that works out in the bankruptcy proceedings, in my opinion, needs to be at the forefront. It's not fair. You know, you look at Detroit, particularly over the last 20 years when we held the, you know, the unprecedented banner of being the murder capital of the world. You had police officers that put on the line every single day. And to have them retire after working in Detroit during the 80s and 90s to say, you know what, your pension is going. That's just not good. And Mike Duggan yesterday at his, made his acceptance speech. Tonight on the general election ballot. So that's one of the things that he wants to work with Kevin Orr about is like this, and we got to protect the pensions. And him with his healthcare background and negotiating with the DMC, and when they were in similar proceedings with bankruptcy, they managed that very, very successfully. So I'm really hoping against hope that is on the forefront of the bankruptcy proceedings. I have family that have been on the police force. Some have been on there 20 years. Some have been on there, you know, 10 years. And so that's really important to me. I have a brother-in-law who's a firefighter. And so that's really important to me from an emotional standpoint. But I just don't care about my family. I care about the people who've been here. Those people need a special feather in their cap because they stuck with the city. So I hope that is on the forefront. As it relates to the epicenter of growth, everything has to start somewhere. And much like any other American city, you have downtown Chicago on Lakeshore Drive, the Magnificent Mile, which is absolutely gorgeous. You go 10 miles to the south side of Chicago, and you don't want to be there past 6 o'clock when the streetlights come on. And that's a very established city. So, of course, that the concentration of growth and development is going to be the downtown, the midtown area. The whole goal is, or at least the hope, is that as those areas begin to grow and expand, then it'll matriculate out into the neighborhoods. Being born and raised in Detroit, I was born on the west side. As growth and expansion goes, it's going to be some time before the newfound, you know, freshness of Detroit reaches those areas. What I'm looking for in the next mayor is that I've always said that the business community will take care of the business community. It always does. It always has been that way. It always will be that way. But that there is a central focus on the neighborhoods. Because one of the reasons why Detroit is where it is, it wasn't because, well, it wasn't solely because of bad administration. Look at a city at its prime that had 1.8 million residents. And then after the race riots and what they call white flight, you know, Detroit now, you fast forward some 30, 40 years later, we had about 740,000 residents. Take that 740,000 residences and you calculate that only 20% of those people are paying taxes. How can you police the city? How can you put out fires? How can you light the city? And so to put that at the feet of the past couple of administrations and say this is all your fault, you know, it goes back to your biblical saying that we've been trying to make bricks without straws. Manufacturing leaving the city of Detroit was huge. You know, say what you want to say about Henry Ford. You know, there's rumors of him being very anti-Semitic. But he had this vision that said that I want the people who I employ in my factories to be able to not only buy the cars that they build, but live in the neighborhoods and the cities that they've helped to grow and develop. Detroit is a legitimate blue-collar town. So you go to the apex of the city of Detroit, and you'll see that most of the houses are all the same height, the same dimensions, because the most part of this was, you know, the founders of the city were factory workers, the police, and the fire department. So it was a legitimate middle-class town. Those people lost those jobs, and those jobs were shipped over to Mexico and to Canada. It really hurt the fabric of our city and diminished the tax base. So it's real hard to maintain a city of our size, which is 145 square miles, bigger than all five New York boroughs put together, when you're only talking about a third of the population. And of that third of the population, only half of those people are paying taxes. You know, Kwame Kilpatrick and all of the negative things that happened associated with this administration. He was on CNN one time and he made the statement. He said, listen, you know, for the last 150, 200 years, Detroit was the center point of American commerce. It was Wall Street and then it was Detroit. You know, we legitimately put the world on wheels and now we're in a bad spot. You know, America, don't turn your back on us. You know, we need you right now. And I think it's important that America doesn't forget just how significant Detroit was. The first stretch of paved road in the country, matter of fact, in the world, is on 6 Mile and Woodward, probably 5 miles from here. The first traffic light was right here in the city of Detroit. So Detroit is rich in history, not just for the state of Michigan, but for the country, and make that the world. And so we can't lose sight of that. You know, right now, we're down right now, but if people will give us another look, they'll find out the same thing you love Detroit, you know, 100 years ago, 50, 60 years ago, are the same things that still happening here right now. So Detroit will come back. I'm concerned about us losing the heart and soul of what Detroit is. I remember having a conversation with a guy in D.C. during the first inauguration. I said, you know, I live in Atlanta, and he was like, yeah, Atlanta's just okay. I'm like, are you serious? It's beautiful weather. Is that, yeah, he said, well, it really doesn't have a soul. I said, well, elaborate. He said, nobody is from there. It just kind of happened out of the blue. And so you don't really have a bar that's been there for 30, 40 years. You don't have a culture of 200 people.
200 years later.
Yeah, exactly. So you don't have a culture of people because nobody was from there. What Detroit really is, I guarantee you, over these next 2 days, get a good look at the people. You can go to New York, you can go to Chicago, you can go to Cleveland, you can go to L.A., and you'll be able to now spot out of Detroit. We have a different swag. We really do have our own unique style. And when you look at this land grab that's going on right now, you're going to have a lot of different people come in from the city. And it's going to be beautiful again. But will it be Detroit? Because it may be, we have a lot of prospectors from Australia and Japan and China and Germany. And so I'm all for having a melting pot, but I don't want to lose that. What's Detroit? You look at New York. New York is everybody, but a Puerto Rican and a somebody who is from Africa in New York, you know they're from New York. It's just New York. And so I'm concerned that we don't lose what is Detroit. Now, there's some pushback about you see graffiti around the city that says hipsters go home. there's some reticence to, this newfound Detroit.
And these are the sons and daughters of cops and firemen that used to live in the city or coming
back. Are coming back, and then you get a lot of people. And right here at Great Lakes, you get a lot of people who are new to the city of Detroit because they recognize what it is. And you got some, lifelong Detroiters saying, "Hey, stay out. You didn't want to suffer with us when we were down. Now that we're coming back, don't impose on us your trendy coffee bars and your fancy schmancy grocery stores with the."
I'm telling you, if you're not careful, you'll be paying $20 for a hamburger in 2 years.
and the reality of it is I believe that is going to happen. But I don't want us to lose our sense of what Detroit really is.
Yeah. Well, every city seems to have to reinvent itself every 20 or 30 years. Maybe it's Detroit's turn.
Or 60 or 70 in our case. But I'm still very excited about it. I came back here because I love my city. I was in Atlanta for 12 years. You couldn't pay me to put on an Atlanta Falcons hat. You couldn't maybe put on a Braves hat. I rock my Detroit hat. I don't think there is any other sports team besides the Tigers, the Lions, and the Pistons. And you ask my dad who's going to win the Super Bowl, he's going to say the Lions every year. I'm like, no, Dad, we were 1-11. It don't matter. Next year is going to be it's our year. I swear on it. And not because he couldn't articulate the prognosticators. He just said, I'm a Detroit friend. This guy he drives the bandwagon. Forget being on it. He is the driver of it. And I feel the exact same way. It's like I am a Detroiter at heart, and nothing's going to change that.